Before I start the lesson this morning, I do want to thank you very much for all the expressions of care and support that have come our way in the last week, especially. I've just had an endless number of texts, and I've tried to answer those back, but maybe I haven't done all of them, and if not, I apologize. Knowing that in a dark moment you have support and love just makes all the difference in the world. I am going to share with you a detailed explanation of where we are, but I want to wait until after the sermon. I'm not sure that I can keep it all together through that. So this morning we're going to talk about comfort zone. And you hear about that a lot, but don't get out of your comfort zone, or somebody saying, get out of your comfort zone. One of the things that has affected our comfort zone was certainly the pandemic. A lot of us withdrew, and we very drastically limited the areas where we are involved in life. Since the pandemic started, Terry and I have not been out of the counties of Oklahoma and Logan except for one time. I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying it's real easy to do. You get kind of like, oh, I'm comfortable. It's not just us. There are other people as well who've dealt with agoraphobia and other kind of things that just really pulled them into their physical comfort zone. They felt safe in their home, and so they just were hesitant to expand their borders. And that happens to us in a physical way, but it also happens to us in other ways as well in our life. And frequently there are people, there are voices, lots of voices out there saying, hey, you got to get out of your comfort zone. There's just so many things awaiting you out there if you'll just get past it. It's a common reference. Let me share with you a definition. A familiar psychological state where people are at ease and perceive they are in control of their environment, experiencing low levels of anxiety and stress. We'd like to stay there. If life is simpler, if life is easier, if life is more comfortable, then it makes sense that we would want to stay there. It could be a very good place to be. Now, the quandary becomes, and what I'd like for us to think about this morning is a comfort zone a good thing or a bad thing? And you get a lot of different debate about that, and we'll talk about both sides of that as we go along. The passage I'm going to use as a text this morning is a parable. It's from Matthew chapter 25. It starts in verse 14. And the children's story is 8 bags of gold. And we have a tendency to call it the parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained more. The man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, sometimes in the Bible, it's hard for us to identify with what's taking place here because this is not the way we would do business in our world and in our time. We have so much better communication. We can have employees who do various kinds of things. But in this period of time, the master needed to travel, maybe to do other business, maybe to take care of other places. We don't know. But instead of being able to take care of people on a day-to-day basis or communicating with people at all, that communication was not really much of an issue. It wouldn't have been possible to communicate it. And so you just had to find people that you could trust to leave them in charge of your belongings while you were gone and anticipate that they would do well when you returned. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. This guy had skill, you would assume. He certainly has initiative. He's motivated. He's going to take some chances. I think that's inherent in the story. But he's been given this five bags of gold, and he says, I'm going to make five more. He worked hard to do that. And when the accounting comes, his master is very pleased with what he's done. The man, this is verse 22. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold, and see, I have gained you two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And now, as we know the story, it's time for the third guy. The guy who only got one bag of gold. I don't know if he was offended by that. This is very obviously a trusting issue. And the master has more trust for the first servant, less for the second, and only one bag of gold for the third. But remember, it's a bag of gold. It's a lot of stuff. And so he has entrusted this guy, but in a comparison basis, maybe the man looks up and says, well, he doesn't trust me, or he doesn't think that I really have a whole lot of ability here. Verse 24, when the man who had received one bag of gold came, Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and scattering where you have not, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. I didn't lose any of it. It's right back. I give it all back to you. And I think he's probably hoping somewhere in his soul that that's going to be enough. The master's going to say, okay, that's not exactly what I wanted, but I can understand that. As we know, that's not the answer. You wicked, lazy servant. You know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. This story has lots of teaching points. You know, we can talk about our talents and using our talents. And typically, that's what we do. We can look about the master leaving and coming back for an accounting. That's a good way to look at this story as well. But I'd like to look at it from the perspective of comfort zone. I would anticipate that even the first two servants were challenged with what they had to do. I don't know, but my guess is that it took really them getting involved, moving out from what they would normally do in life in order to take care of this investment. And this last guy says, no, I didn't do all that. I didn't really want to leave my comfort zone. And he didn't say that specifically, but that's what he's saying. And you say, well, wait a second. He said he was afraid. He said it was fear that kept him from doing more. I don't have my... I'm sorry. The thing that goes up there. I'll think of the word in just a little bit later. But on it, I left it at home this morning. I just walked off and forgot it. On it, it had a diagram of your comfort zone. And comfort zone's just a circle in the middle wrapped with a band of fear. And a lot of what contains and keeps the comfort zone in its place is this being afraid of getting out of it. What's going to happen if I get out here where I'm not comfortable? What's going to happen when I get out here in an area where I've never been before? Am I going to be able to manage that? Am I going to be able to cope with that? And so actually it's fear for most people that creates this shell that's hard to break through on the outside of our comfort zone. Now, Satan probably likes that. He probably likes for us to be pretty self-contained. He may look and see the things that we're doing inside our comfort zone. And some of those things may be very good things. Very good things in terms of spiritual experience as well. And Satan looks at it and he says, but you know, I know they could do more. And I know they could accomplish a whole lot more. And I'm going to be content to just keep them trapped inside this little shell of a comfort zone. Because although they damage me some, this is Satan, Although they damage me some, they don't damage me as much as they could perhaps if they were at their best and really doing all the things that they could do. And it seems as though as we look at our world that Satan is fairly content to leave us in our comfort zone. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. God says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then from 2 Timothy chapter 1, a passage that most of us are familiar with. "For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." God doesn't intend for fear to be a limiting thing. He doesn't intend for something that we wrap ourselves in and we don't do anything because we're afraid to do anything. He wants us to understand that he's supportive of the things that we do that cause us to break free of the fear that we're having to live by. Now, I have a question. Is comfort zone always a bad thing? If you go into the secular world, you're going to hear people just championing, break down your comfort zone. Break down your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone. It's a way to make money. It's a way to have more happiness. It's a way to have more self-fulfillment. It's a way to have more pleasure. And this idea constantly is being heralded. Get out of your comfort zone. There's a whole new world out there. Well, you know, as we talk about the grass isn't always greener, it's not always better out there. We enjoy things that are comfortable for us, and we develop some things that are comfortable. Family relationships, family traditions, maybe the place you live. I've lived in the same house for almost 40 years. Most people would say, well, you should have moved a long time ago. Maybe that's right, but it's comfortable. I've gone to the same place on vacation for 45 years. And people say, that's silly. You know, there's other great places to go. But I know what's there, and I know that I like it. I know that I'm going to have a good time. And people who go with us feel that same way about it. There's not anything wrong with finding places where we're comfortable. God points us and moves us toward simple, quiet lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. "And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you." The world is saying, get out of your comfort zone. But as I look at my life and look at the lives of other people, I find there's another biblical element that's a part of this comfort zone equation. And that is contentment. God is constantly teaching us that we are to be content. Well, how do we get to the place where we could be content? Paul says that he learned to be content. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6 and going through verse 1. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we could take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Never be content. That's what secular advertising is frequently trying to sell us. You need a new dishwasher. You need a new brand of mouthwash. You need this. You need that. You would be happier. You would be, your relationships would be better. And all this stuff is constantly being sold to us. And the way that people benefit is by us getting out of our comfort zone. You've used this particular product for a long time. Well, try our product. It's a better product. Are they really wanting you to have a better product? Or are they just wanting you to own their product? And we see this is constantly going in our world. In this land of free enterprise in which we live, there's so much of this. And people are constantly trying to challenge us not to be content. And God says it's an important quality. So let's see. Are we supposed to have a comfort zone or are we not? Let's look at some Bible characters real quickly. God comes to Noah. Says, Noah, I got a little job for you. I'd like for you to spend the next 100 years building a boat in the middle of a desert. And I'm going to show you how to build it. And then when you get through, I want you to gather up one of every animal in the world, you know, just for something extra to do that'll keep you busy. You think Noah could have said, you know, Lord, that's really not my comfort zone. You know, I'm not a shipbuilder. I'm not somebody that raises animals or chases animals. Why don't you give me something that's a little more consistent with what I'm used to and what I want to do? And God says, no, this is what I need for you to do. In Noah's case, he's the only guy in the world competent to do it. He's the only guy in the world that has the spiritual resources that will allow him to take that on. And God says to Noah, you got to leave your comfort zone and come over here and do this important thing for me. Moses is herding those sheep in the land of Midian. He's 80 years old. And he looks over there and there's a fire burning. A bush is burning and it doesn't burn up. And God says, come here, Moses, I've got a job for you. I want you to go to Egypt, get my people, and take them to the promised land. And basically Moses says, Lord, you know, 40 years ago, I was up for that. When I was young and when I was smart, before I had a lot of black marks against my name in the land of Egypt, I would have been more than happy to do that. But now I'm an old guy. I'm 80 years old. And God says to him, you're just where I need you to be. There were things perhaps that Moses didn't understand at 40 that he now knows at 80. And God says, you may already have your retirement planned, but I don't care. I want you to break out of your comfort zone, get your staff, and lead these people out. Oh, Lord, I don't know you talk well enough. Well, I'll send Aaron with you. Every excuse that Moses comes up with, God's got an answer for, because the ultimate deal is you're going to have to leave your comfort zone. I need you to do this for me. Gideon. The Midianites have control of the country. Gideon is hiding in a wine press to get a little bit of wheat to feed his family. And God's messenger says, mighty warrior. And I've mentioned this before. I just know that Gideon looked over his shoulder like, is there somebody else here? I'm not a military guy. I'm not a soldier. I'm just a guy. I'm the weakest of the weakest of the weakest. It's literally what he says. And God says, no, you're the guy I'm picking. I want you out of your comfort zone, and I want you in front of my armies to lead. Now, I think the real answer is there's no point in breaking down a comfort zone just to break it down, just to stir things up, just to see if there's something better out there. We can make really bad decisions when we go that direction. But when God calls us out of our comfort zone, then that's a whole different thing. That's a totally different application. He's going to help us. He's going to provide the resources that we need. He's going to bring other people into the equation as it's needed, as he did with all three of those guys. He's going to give us the power to get it done. But if we say, no, I'm just not comfortable with that, then we miss this opportunity to be of an awesome service to our God. And you may be thinking, well, how do you know the difference? It's real simple. Being led by the Spirit. If you're being led by the Spirit, God will lead you out of your comfort zone. If you're being led by the Spirit, God will allow you to enjoy and relish and recharge and benefit within your comfort zone when those times are right. It's not one or the other. It's about our willingness to do it God's way. Peter left fishing. Paul, Saul left Judaism. Prophets left their jobs and their families. And we look all through the scripture. We see people that are called to do something different. There's one of the prophets, and I don't know if this is valid or not, but a lot of the scholars believe that he was a prophet for only one day. He was called for one day to go down to Israel and prophesy. And he did. He left his comfort zone for that single equation. If we can leave our comfort zone when God calls us to do it, then we have the opportunity to not only be a blessing to ourselves and others, but an opportunity to cooperate with God in a great challenge and adventure. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, this is what I'll close with. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, Lord, I am comfortable in my comfort zone. I am content. I am grateful. I thank you for bringing me here and I appreciate that. But at the same time, we remain aware that God may say, I need you to leave for a day, for a minute, for the rest of your life, whatever it is. He wants and needs to use us. And that's part of our responsibility as his servants. Would you pray with me? To God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for the beautiful life that we get to live. We thank you for the life that we live with family and among our church brethren. We thank you for the people in the world who encourage us and lift us up, and people that we serve, people who serve us, people who help us, people whom we help. But Father, we know that across the time that we're here, you have a purpose for us. You have things that you want and need for us to do for you. And we pray that we might be aware of that, that we might be responsive to your voice, that we might answer your call when you bring us to the place where you have something challenging for us to do. Father, be with us and help us and mold us. Please give us strength. And we pray this through your precious Son. Amen.